Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Well, there you are again. It's Sunday. It's freezing outside. It's somewhat early still, and yet here you are in church. Man, I don't know. Some of you, in spite of the fight that you had on the way, you still made it to church. You got up. You made the effort. I talked to people who have driven all the way from Miami, not Florida, but Miami nonetheless. What is it? Why? When so many people are asleep right now. But you want to glorify God. You desire to worship Him. You desire to be with other crazy people that are like you. You desire to honor Him with your resources. You want to magnify Him. You want to glorify Him. You want to hear His word. You want to grow closer to Him. You want to grow in godliness and become more like Jesus. This is what it's about. So I'm so super stoked that we're together because I'm feeling the same way. We want to grow in godliness. And this is what we're talking about, being spiritually fit. I want to premise this today by telling you that it's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be more prescriptive today than usual. I know that I challenge you every week. Some would even say maybe pushy, assertive, not aggressive, assertive, pushy. But today even more so in terms of being prescriptive, and this isn't normal, a specific thing that I'm going to ask you to do that will help you grow in godliness. I'm saying that so that you'll all understand. We would tell my children, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. So I'm warning you ahead of time, this is what you're going to get today. But let's pray before we get into the Word. Father, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for the way you've touched our lives, and this is our heart's desire today, to glorify you and honor you and to get to know you better. And God, we just invite you to speak to us about areas of our life today. We invite that. Lord, you know it's not easy, and we know it's not easy. But the stuff that we hear from you, from your Holy Spirit, those are the things that we'll act on, not being hearers only, deceiving ourselves, but doers also. So help us in that, we pray, and help me to say exactly what you want me to say. And we just trust you, Lord, in your name. Amen. Thanks for praying. 1 Timothy 4:7-8 says this, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is his son in the faith and a pastor, and he's under great pressure, and he's writing these two letters to him, describing to him what he wants him to do and how it is that he wants him to live his life. And he's saying, physical exercise is great, but godliness is really beneficial. So the question is, how do we grow in godliness? How do we grow in godliness? Now, what's interesting is I thought about this week. I realized that I've had a bit of a dilemma when it comes to growing in godliness. The dilemma is the question that I have, is it all God or is it all me? Or is it God in me and how does that work? Does that make sense? Is it all God? Is it all me? I'm going to do an axis here and here. This on this is your life span going out here. And on this axis, I've got, I will put Christ-likeness, all right, which is the goal of every Christian, that you would actually become more and more like Christ, Christ-likeness. And what happens in our life and what's happened in most all of our lives is we've been in this process where God has led us to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, as the Savior of the world. If you're here today and you don't yet believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior and have given Him your life, I just want to say thank you for coming into this place with all of these weird people. This is the second time I've called them weird, and they clap when I do, so you know they're weird. But keep coming, and keep checking it out, and keep listening. And I would encourage you, if you're just starting and thinking about God as a pillar of faith in your life and what does your spiritual life look like, you might be considering this in the new year. Read the Gospel of John. There's 21 chapters in that Gospel, and if you read that, you'll really find out about what Jesus is really like. And this is the one that we're focused on and interested in, but keep on coming back, and hopefully we'll be praying for you, and I'll be working every week to persuade you to give your entire life to Jesus, so you're warned. But here's what has happened. We've come to a place in our life where we have realized that Jesus Christ is the Savior. We've given our life to Him, and we've surrendered our life to Him. I happened to be in a ditch when this really happened in graduate school and surrendered my life to Jesus. And in that moment, it was winter time, it was cold, and it was like the Spirit of God just spoke to me in that moment. I mean, you know that moment where you're like, all right, I'm for real giving everything to God, and only you and Him really know the serious business that you've done right there. And in that moment, He spoke such a sweet thing to me, just on the inside, not an audible voice. But it was in the same way that winter comes on the earth and brings death so that spring can come. I don't know about you, but I'm already ready for spring. Enough death of winter. But the Holy Spirit kind of spoke to me on the inside. In the same way that the earth dies to bring forth spring, so the old Rob is dead and there's a brand new Rob is kind of coming to life, was the essence of this. And I stood up in that ditch and nothing had changed in my life, but everything had changed in my life. God had come into my life. The Spirit of God made me alive to Him, and my sins were forgiven, and I felt like I was, you know, walking on sunshine. You know, forgiven and grace-filled, and oh man, everything seemed a little bit brighter, and the breeze felt a little bit better, and my heart was warm, and I was saved and regenerated and new, and I knew Christ, and then Monday happened. Johnny Cash might say Sunday morning coming down, where you realize you're not gonna float on a cloud for the rest of your life. You actually still have the potential to sin. This was like, what? I got cheated. I'm still here. I'm still engaged. I'm still involved. I really want God just to zap me and take it all away and make me instantaneously like Him. In every single way. Just zap me, God. We'll just form a line right here. I'll lay my hand on you and you just fall down and God will just zap you. He can't disciple people like that, and that's not the way it works. A disciple is a follower and a learner. Now, is it all me? Is it all Him? I give my life to Him, and all of a sudden, everything has changed. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Glory to God. But then I realize that there is a pattern of godliness where it looks like this. The longer I live, as I go in Christ's likeness, you do notice this is not a straight line, right? You know? That was a year for you. It might have been last year. It might have been 08, but you insert year here, right? It's not perfect. Now, eventually, we come to a part where we die, and when we die, we are like Him. When we see Him, we will be like Him. So there's this ongoing process of godliness that's happening in the life of every believer that we'll either cooperate with or not. Godliness is this. Godliness, I would describe it as and define it as this. A progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual lives, which is where He wants to show up in your, not here sitting in church. You look holy, you look great. Y'all cleaned up. But when you're driving to work, somebody wants to see Jesus. When you arrive at work, Jesus needs to show up in the cubicle. Am I with you right now? Are you with me? Real, actual godliness. And the process is not that simple. You say, is it all God? Is it all me? Is it a mix? And how does that actually work? But what's interesting in this is that it's always progressive. Now, you could stay right here at salvation. You just come in the doorway of salvation, and for the rest of your life, you just stay at level one right here on your Christ likeness. You've met a person who's been knowing Jesus for 30 years. Do you know that doesn't matter? Because you could be a 30-year-old baby. Right? And you met these people, and you're like, I know you've been knowing Jesus, you've been coming to church a long time, but you don't look anything like Christ. It doesn't matter how many years you spend, you don't get seniority with Jesus. And that's why you meet a Christian who's been a Christian for a long time, and if they don't look anything like Christ, you don't want to be around them. But you meet some people who just met Jesus 2 years ago, and all of a sudden, they're just flying, really looking like Christ in many areas of their life. How can this be? There are people who can just walk through the doorway of salvation and stay saved, but they stay at this lowest level for their whole Christian existence. God has more for you and for me than that. He wants us to progress in Him. Philippians 3:13, Paul writes this, "Now, brothers and sisters, listen. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I'm not there. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." I'm not thinking about what's back there, and I'm straining toward what is ahead. It's interesting how many times Paul talks about perseverance and straining and being a soldier and being a farmer and being in this fight, and I fought the good fight. He didn't say I sat on the good couch. I fought the fight. Why is he saying that? He's saying this because if you're going to grow in godliness, you know that you have an enemy, the devil. And you know that your flesh doesn't agree with you either. It's not excited about your New Year's resolutions. Have you noticed that yet? Your flesh is like, let's just do what we did last year. Remember that? That was fun. Is that chocolate over there? Them cookies at Christmas sure were great. The devil is against us, the flesh is against us, the world system is against us, and it's fighting against this, our relationship with God and our godliness. If it crucified Christ, how much is it going to fight against you? And he never did anything wrong. And he won every victory over the flesh. So how much more are we going to be in this battle? You will have a struggle. You will have persecution in this world. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and I've sent you a helper called the Holy Spirit. So you have actually the Spirit of God in you, which is helping you, compelling you forward, even though there's this resistance against you. And your spiritual life, you need to admit this and confess this now, that there is a battle going on. And this in here, this is where the friction is at. This is where real life happens. And we're saying in 2018, as we say in every year, Lord, no matter what happens on this curve, see, some people will teach you that spiritual life is like this. It's just as long as you have perfect faith, it just is all up and to the right and no problems. And any problem in your life is an indication that you've got something wrong. That is not the Bible way. That is not the Bible way. Matter of fact, Paul talks to Timothy about it. He says, I know you have a lot of illnesses. Take a little wine for that illness. And now you got struggles, so here's how I want to face how you face your struggles. And here's how I want you. He wouldn't be telling them to persevere and endure if the Christian life were somehow perfect. We're not talking about having a perfect life. The perfect Christian life is to continually turn to Jesus. The perfect Christian life is that no matter what happens this year, I'm hanging on to Jesus. He's never failed me before. He's not going to fail me now. If it's wonderful, I'm going to give him praise. And if it's difficult, I'm going to pray even more. And if there's pain, and if there's sorrow, and if there's suffering, and if there's hard times, I'm going to say, yeah, I'm not surprised about that. That's what this is about. But I'm going to endure, and we're going to come through, and we're going to hang on to him. We're going to keep growing in godliness. You can go from glory to glory. Matter of fact, you should, Scripture says. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials. This is not our favorite scripture. You don't have this on your fridge. Count it all joy. Why? Because when you endure these things, it produces in you the endurance and the faith and the trust. You've been through some hard times. And if you allow those hard times to press you into your relationship with God, you've gotten stronger in God. Now the next thing that comes, you say, bring it on. Been here before. Born and raised in the briar patch. Bring it on. God's delivered me from that before. I've been through the fire. I've been through the water. I've been through sickness. I've been through pain. I've been through the hospital. I've been through pain. I've been through that. And God, who saw me through before, he's going to see me through again. And it's not about having that perfect life. There is no such thing. It's about trusting in him more and more. Trusting in him more and more. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Now listen to this. Here's the comparison. Listen to this. Paul's writing to a church here. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, who obeyed there, the Holy Spirit or the people? The people. You have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Look at what it says. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Wait, wait. I didn't like this because I come from a Catholic upbringing, and it was, I'm thankful for it, but a lot of times it was a lot of work, and it was just religion, and every single day I'm going to wake up and I'm going to earn my salvation. It sounds like work, and if I have to grow in godliness based on work and religious activity, and I get a check mark because I'm at church and a check mark because I read my Bible, and I'm earning my salvation, I don't like the sound of that, Paul. That doesn't sound good. It sounds like it's all based on me. Godliness is now based on me, and I know I'm in trouble if that's the case. Then you got to finish the verse. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. What's he saying? Is it Paul? Is it you? Yep. Is it God? Uh-huh. Is it who? God? Yep. Paul? Me? You? Him? Yes. Both. And all together. It's like, work out your salvation. There's stuff that you've got to do this year to grow in godliness. But it's not you, it's him. It's him in you, empowering you and giving you the strength to do it. There's things that you're going to have to do. Some of you came in today and said, I really need a word from God. And I really need to hear from God this year. And I really need his direction. And I would say you need a spoon and a fork. Spoon, the spoon to stir up the gift of God that's already in you. Get you a spoon and a fork, which means you need to eat something every single day spiritually on your own. Feed yourself. Are we okay right now? You need a spoon and a fork. You came in and said, man, I really want to grow in godliness. I need a word from God. Well, I'm not coming into your house every day and giving you a word. I've got a word today from the Lord, but then the rest of the week, you've got to stir that up. And you've got to get a fork and eat. I always get a kick out of people who say, I'm not getting fed. Well, dang, did you eat anything? I mean, I hope you're not just eating once a week. I know about you, but I don't eat once a week. I eat a few times a day, and then I nibble in between just if I need it. So I get fed. But there's a lot of things that we need to do where we feed ourselves. Growing in godliness requires our cooperation. It's not all God, and it's not all us. If it were all God, it might produce in us just a laziness. We say, just him, he's doing all the work. Greater is he who's in me than he was in the world. I'm going to sit back. But it's not all me either. Because if it's just us, that's dead works. That's trying to, aren't you glad you don't have to wake up every morning and earn your salvation? That's done been paid for. That's been paid for. It was finished on the cross. But now with the help of his Holy Spirit, we get to wake up every day with his help and grow in godliness. I love the way that Paul writes about this life in Christ. Because I don't want to teach you that you have to do things. Because that's dead religion. It's works. But neither do I want to teach you that it's just all the grace of God where you sit back and say, well, he'll just do what come, you know, c'est la vie, you know. He'll do whatever he wants to do. No, there's a cooperation in there. And I love the way Paul puts it. One of my favorite passages, 1 Corinthians 15:10 says this. He's describing it. By the grace of God, I am what I am. This is a Popeye moment. And every single one of you, be completely honest, you could say the same thing. I am what I'm telling you, I'm standing here today by the grace of Almighty God. Oh, my mom's prayers and the grace of God, the prayers of my wife. Oh, man, we are here because of the grace of God. You don't deserve to be here, but here you are. And you're here because of his grace and his favor and his mercy, because he loves you and he cares for you. And you've made it through some stuff, but here you are by his grace, right? He's so good to us. But now Paul turns a corner, starts bragging on himself. Now, his grace towards me was not in vain. I didn't waste it. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Who's he even talking about right now? Yet, not I. But the grace of God which was with me. Do you see this internal? It's not a conflict, but there's this thing happening here, which is true for all of us. I am what I am by the grace of God. Over 20 years ago in a ditch, he saved my soul. He reached me when nothing else would reach me. He loved me. He changed me. He transformed me. He gave me new life. By his grace, I'm standing in front of you. He's given me more favor than he's given anybody else in the world. But I did not waste that grace. Are you with me right now? From the moment I got out of that ditch, I knew who had saved me. And I said, I am gonna take every bit of fuel that he's given me, and I am going to totally give it to him, as I promised him I would do. I am gonna dedicate my heart, my soul, my life to him. I'm gonna give it all to him. But not really me. I mean, it's just been his grace the whole time, all the way. He's the fuel for all that. He's the impetus for all that. He's the motivation for all that. He's the comfort in the middle of that. He's the strength that helps me. It's me, it's him, it's me, it's him. You digging it? Romans 6, 12 and 13. So how do we do this? Therefore, do not let sin. Wait, pull that down for just a second. We're not quite ready. I want to set this up because this always makes everybody quiet. You read from Romans and it gets real quiet. My question now is, based on all that, it's God, it's me, it's God, it's me. How do we practically do this every day? I'm saying that we can, and I'm going to say we should, as Christians, grow in godliness. I have a sneaky suspicion the Holy Spirit isn't happy that we would stay a baby Christian our whole life, but he wants us to grow up into the things of God. He wants you to become more and more like Christ. Me too. But how does this actually happen on a practical level? And this is where I'm going to get more prescriptive than usual. I'm going to give you one way. And if you know me, you're already probably ahead of me. Romans chapter 6, now we're ready, 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you should obey it in its evil desires. Let me pause there. Sin no longer has dominion over the life of a believer. Sin exists, and until we're with Jesus, sin will be a part of our lives. Scripture is very clear on this. We will sin less and less. We're not earning our salvation every single day, but the dominion and the reign and the power of sin has been crucified on the cross of Jesus Christ. So sin no longer has the dominion. See, before you lived for Jesus, you didn't have any choice. Sin reigned supreme in your life. But now, actually, sin has lost its stinger that it is no longer in dominion over you who are in Christ. You have a brand new life. You have a brand new Lord. You have a brand new Savior. So no believer in Christ could actually legitimately say, well, I mean, Grandma was angry, Uncle Bobby was angry, and I'm angry. It's just the way it is. No, it is not, because you're a part of a new family now that Uncle Bobby doesn't have nothing to say about. Jesus paid for your sin to no longer have dominion and reign over you. I'm not saying that you don't sin. I'm saying that it doesn't have dominion over you. So you are actually called. The scripture doesn't say that the Holy Spirit shouldn't let sin reign in your mortal body. The scripture says that you shouldn't let sin reign in your mortal body. Now here's what's interesting as a believer. Sin can't reign in your mortal body because it bothers you too much. If I gave you a suit jacket to wear around this next week, most of you, for one, wouldn't want to wear a suit jacket, but let's say it's two sizes too small. Now you really don't want to wear it. But you have to wear it all week. You would struggle with that thing all week long. You would struggle. It's not fitting you. This is your experience when you give your life to Jesus Christ. You can go back and do the same things you used to do, but it won't fit you anymore. You'll struggle with it. And the struggle that you're having with sin isn't proving you're a great sinner. It's proving you're a lousy sinner, but you're a great saint. It doesn't fit anymore. That's where the scripture says, put on righteousness. Oh, man. And now righteousness fits you, and it's kind of odd, isn't it? Because it's brand new. It's what he's given to you. So do not, then it goes on and says this, do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. This is pretty plain. Think about your life before you had given everything to Jesus. What about your mind? Was it an instrument of godliness? No. Before you knew Christ, your mind was an instrument not of godliness, but vain imaginations, or lustful thinking, or anger, bitterness, revenge. And what of your words? Maybe gossip. And what of your heart? Full of anger. And what about your hands and feet? Where did they travel and what did they do to try to get all of your needs met? But now, take those same members as a believer in Christ. It's really a glorious thing. Paul says, I would that men everywhere would lift up holy hands. The fact that we could take these hands that were full of sin, but now have been made righteous by Jesus Christ, that it brings Him glory. It's not about us when we lift our hands, but it's about the work that He's done in us. Lord, that we could be called holy and lift up holy hands to You. That we could give these members once given to unrighteousness, but now here we are. Here we are, Lord. On this day, Your day, giving You everything that we've got. What a glorious thing for the Lord that You would give Him every member. See, this is before you committed your body to unrighteousness. This doesn't need explanation. You committed your body to unrighteousness, your mind to unrighteousness. Now you commit your body by His favor and by His grace, by His power, the power of His Holy Spirit. So an example would be that you'll be happy to know every morning your pastor sits down. My body, under the control of the Holy Spirit, I say, I'm going to sit my body down and I'm going to look at Your word. I'm going to read Your word because I don't know God. I need to get to know Him more. You don't know all of who He is. So a disciple learns and grows, a follower and a learner of His. So we're following and we're learning. And this is the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. To know Him, we get into this and it changes our mind. It changes who we are. So in this way, even right now, you're right now listening and looking and attentive, and you made great effort to be here today. This is what it is. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you say, but it's not me, it's Him, the work that He's doing in me. Yes. And in this way, we commit our members to righteousness. So it's Him, but it's us. 2 Timothy 1, 6, and 7, Paul is encouraging Timothy. And he said, now, for this reason, I'm reminding you, listen, stir up the gift or fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us, the Spirit that God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Timothy, don't be afraid. Give yourself wholly to the Lord. Commit yourself to Him. And His Spirit hasn't given us fear, but love, and given us power, and given us a sound mind. Some of you have been praying for less stress, but God wants to give you more strength. You've been praying for less of something, but God wants to give you more of His Spirit. He wants to give you more of His power, more of His insight, more wisdom, more strength for the battle, because this is not going away. Say, oh, 2018, maybe it'll all go away. Cow gone, some of you are old enough to know. Take me away. Cow gone ain't going to take you away. Jesus doesn't want to take you away from it. He wants to put you in the middle of it and be there with you. And He wants to give you strength. And so how do we practically do this? So as I said, I'm going to give you one way. I'll remind you of this. The Holy Spirit will help you when you read the Bible. But the Holy Spirit will not read the Bible for you. Should I step back right now? Are we okay? Someday we're going to see each other in heaven, and I'm going to predict what's going to happen. You're going to come up to me, and you're going to say, Pastor Rob, thanks for always talking about Project 345. Man, I appreciate it. I can have my imaginations if I want. This is what I'm imagining. I'm so thankful that we're a part of a church where thousands of people, every single person who comes to church and calls this church home, reads their Bible every single morning. It takes an average of 3 minutes and 45 seconds. We'll show you the plan here, the Project 345 plan. It takes an average of 3 minutes and 45 seconds to read a chapter of the Bible every day. You can set your alarm tomorrow for 3 minutes and 45 seconds earlier than you had it today. And you can get up and just get that plan and read that chapter. and talk to the Lord. Now, not just pastors say this, but research actually shows the number one way to grow in your relationship with God is to be with Him, just alone with His Word, talking to Him. You say, you might struggle reading, you might struggle comprehending, you don't like to read. Then you can just listen to it. They did for hundreds of years. Listen to the Word of God and meditate on His Word and think about that and see if you don't hear what He's saying. You've been wanting a word from God. You've been wondering what He's doing in your life. You've been wondering the way to walk. You've been wondering how to be a husband, how to be a father, how to be holy, how to be righteous, how to get rid of sin, how to do all these things. Go to your Father. Go to Him in secret, Jesus said. And He will reward you openly. What does that mean? When you go to Him in secret, you give Him all these things and you talk to Him, He'll show you things and He'll start to reward you openly. That your righteousness will shine forth as the noonday. In other words, He will be the one who solves those issues that you've got as you are with Him. It's really miraculous that way. I want to close with this story. A familiar story, if you're familiar with Elijah. Elijah in the Old Testament is a prophet, and he calls down fire from heaven, and he kills hundreds of false prophets. The dude's having a really good day. Mountaintop experience. The next minute he's depressed and he's running from Jezebel. She threatens to kill him. And he prays this prayer in 1 Kings. And he said to the Lord, he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. He's depressed now. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. You ever feel like this in life? You feel like the weight of the world is on you. And you're the only one left. So God spoke to Elijah and he said, now I want you to go over on that mountain. I want you to be there. I'm going to pass before you. And this is the only time in Scripture where the band Earth, Wind, and Fire are located. You can find it in 1 Kings 19. He comes in an earthquake. There's an earthquake and everything shakes. I think God is definitely in that powerful, mighty, show your power, O Lord. He wasn't in the earthquake. So a mighty wind comes. The rocks break apart. You think, well, this is the Spirit of God, Rauch, the Spirit, wind. This is where, but he wasn't in the wind. And then a fire comes, and you think, well, this is definitely where God is. God is in the fire. I mean, it's a pillar of fire that he led the people of God, and he saved the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. He's definitely in the fire. Johnny Cash fell into a burning ring of fire. He's got to be in the fire. Sorry. That's not in the Scriptures. But he was not in the fire. He was not in the big. He was not in the amazing, powerful, awesome Oz. He was not in all that. You're looking for God in all the big things. He's not found in the big things. You trip over Him in the small things. He came in a still, small voice. And our lives are so busy and so full, and we stare at these so long. How will you ever hear a still, small voice if you are not still and small? I'm compelling you, I'm asking you, pleading with you to give God the first fruit, the first part of your day. The first part of your day. You do something small by His power and His strength, and you see if He doesn't do something big. I would even go so far as to say one of the reasons that I'm standing here is because I've learned this early on by the strength of His Spirit and His power, just to be with Him and make Him your life. Now, here's what's interesting. When he heard God tell him exactly what to do. Go and anoint this one. Go and anoint that one. Oh, and by the way, there's 7,000 more just like you, pal, over there. Oh, he had an eye-opening moment that changed his demeanor, changed his attitude, changed his emotions, changed his thinking, changed his trajectory, changed his life. Why? Because it wasn't in the storm, and it wasn't in the wind, and it wasn't in the fire. It wasn't in the big. It wasn't in the altar call where the man of God. No, it's in you deciding I'm going to follow with His power, His leading. I'm going to hear His voice early in the morning. Early will I seek you, Lord. Early will I seek you. And I'll hear from you. Isn't it true that Jesus went away early in the morning? Isn't it true that Jesus often went away so that when the disciples went to look for Jesus, they knew right where to look because he had his favorite prayer spot? Folks, listen now. Come on now. Come on. If Jesus had a prayer spot. Huh? Some people ask me, why should I be water baptized? Jesus was baptized. Enough said. If the brother can get baptized, so can we. And if he's going to spend time with the Father, and he's holy, there's something there he needed, he required, and you require it as you require food. The only way to hear a still, small voice is to be still and small yourself. This will transform your life. People ask me, Rob, what is it that's changed your life? And I always come back to this. Man, this has really changed my life. There's nothing that enhances or grows you faster in your relationship with God than being with him, even just 5 or 10 minutes in the morning. Now, I want you, this is where it gets very practical. I'm going to ask you to join me, and I'm asking the entire church, this is the first time we've ever done this. I really felt led in the fall of last year to ask you this today, that you would join me in this. Would you look in your program? Look in your program. In the middle piece there, right under that awesome car that I want, is spiritual fitness, ideas for fasting. I don't have time to go into fasting other than to say when you miss one meal, you realize how dependent you are on stuff outside of yourself. God is not dependent on anything, but you are dependent on stuff. And so if for medical reasons you can't do the first one, the medical reason says I can't go without food for a meal, just skip that one. Don't get me in trouble with your doctor. But what we're doing is we're looking at this list, and I'm going to ask you through Monday through Friday to decide, and I'm going to give you 45 seconds in just a minute to look at this list thoroughly and say which one of these, if I were to give up one of these and give that time to the Lord, just give that attention to him. If I were to give up one of these, which one would I? I'm not saying I will. See how noncommittal this is? But you're saying, if I would. So we're going to have, hey Siri, would you set a timer for 45 seconds? We got 45 seconds to think about that, and then we'll pray. Okay, now I want you to take your index finger, if you would, and if you were to do one, I want you to put your finger on the one that you would do if you were to do one, making no promises. I want to make no liars out of today. Even if you just say for a day, I'll try this. And will you show the person on your right? Show the person on your left. I just got serious. If I were to do one, this is the one I think would make the most difference. If some of you would give up social media for a day, the world would keep on spinning. Or news. Or TV. Technology. Would you stand with me? We'll pray. For some of you, this is going to be a very, very big week, and you're going to find out just how much that certain whatever meant to you, and you're going to grow in godliness this week by his help. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the power and work of your Holy Spirit, your wonderful word. Father, I pray a blessing on your people today that you'd go with them with your power, with your strength, with your grace and mercy and love, and that we would be filled with your joy this week as we serve you in your name. Amen. Prayer and communion down front. Hope you have a great week. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.